All right, welcome back to the Royal Wars podcast. And today we have a very special guest, decorated champion in multiple disciplines of fighting on April the 17th against Jake Paul. It is none other than Ben Askren.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good, man. Good, good, good. We're excited for this fight, you know?
Yeah, I'm ready for your hardest questions.
I appreciate that, man. We know the press conference was recent. We're going to get into that and how you felt and dealing with that situation. But how is training going? How's camp actually going for you right now?
It's really good. I mean, I've never done a boxing camp before, so I don't really have a lot to compare it to. But everything seems to be going really well. You know, it's really interesting because it's been, 11 years since I've actually trained for wrestling. And, you know, wrestling, you can focus on a really specific skill set. When you're in mixed martial arts, it's like, hey, you're doing this one day a week and this one day a week and this one day a week. And so you have all these different things that you're thinking about all at one time. And it makes it more difficult. And now with boxing, it's just like, I just got to box every single day. So it's a lot of fun. I'm having fun with it and everything's going well.
And have you brought in any notable sparring partners or anybody with high-level boxing experience known to the world to help you along with your journey so far?
Yeah, so I went to Freddie Roach's for a week, and that was awesome. And obviously, he has a whole bunch of guys who are really, really high-level there. And then I brought in this guy, Cornelius Bundridge, who is a world champion.
Okay, man. Yeah.
He actually came over for 2 weeks now, so he came really early. He came in the middle, and then actually I'm training with him again this week. He's coming in.
Nice.
So it's good because also, I have 12 weeks, and I think a lot of boxers are annoyed with Jake Paul because he says, like, I'm a boxer and I'm gonna become good. It's like, maybe at some point we'll see, but you're not there yet. And it's like, I'm not under the illusion that I'm a good boxer. I have 12 weeks to figure out how to beat up Jake Paul. So it's like, let's deal with the skill set that I already have from mixed martial arts and just make some small tweaks and turns and really focus on one opponent. Am I ever going to box again after this? Probably not. I mean, there's a chance. I just don't think it's all that likely.
And that's the thing. There's a misconception thinking that you've never done striking before. People just assume that you're just a pure wrestler when you've been in the mixed martial arts game. And the funny thing was, before the press conference, he said to you, this is the fight game. Like, you haven't been in it for X amount of years.
Yeah, I really wanted to put a picture of, like, some of the scary-ass dudes, you know, like, three of them, and then a picture of him at the press conference and be like, which one of these ones doesn't seem like the other? True. I mean, in mixed martial arts, I've been in there, you go 4 ounce gloves, they can knee you, they can elbow you, they can choke you, they can kick you.
Mm. A lot of dangers.
So it's very dangerous, and there's a lot of weapons to worry about. And with boxing, it's obviously only two weapons, you know, two hands, but you have to be much better at it because, again, people have been, you know, most boxers, not Jake Paul, of course, have been doing this for a very, very long time. It's the same way I feel about wrestling. Like, wrestlers are better at wrestling than mixed martial arts are at mixed martial arts because it's just such a narrow skill set. And in order to get to the top of that, you have to be really, really, really good at it.
Yeah, elite. Yep.
Mm. It's true. No, very true. Ben, I don't know if you're familiar with my channel or seen any previous videos. Have you seen any?
I have not, but people told me you were being a dick to me, so
you might as well. No, right. See, now, this is what I wanted to clear up. This is what I wanted to say, right? As a fellow fighter, everyone is entitled to their opinion. At no point have I disrespected you, and I always credit you for what you have achieved. And I know how hard it is to achieve the highest level of any combat sport. So I always give you your respect. But when it comes to the boxing side of things, from what I've seen, I don't know if you're bluffing with us or if you're playing with us, but from what I've seen and what I've seen from Jake, I have favored Jake to win this fight. Now, that is just my opinion. I can't pick and choose the outcome of things, but that is just my personal view. What makes you so confident that you will prove people like myself wrong?
Yeah, so I think there's a couple things there. So I think, first of all, like Leon said, I did fight in a striking, mixed martial arts. Mm-hmm. You can hit, kick, elbow, whatever. But I wasn't actually ever trying to strike anyone, right? All I was trying to do was get through a couple punches or kicks, get close enough, take them down, then beat them up on the ground, which, I was undefeated for a decade, so it worked relatively well. And now when I went to boxing, you know, especially the first couple weeks, it felt so strange because normally it was like throw one punch or two punches and then, you know, collar tie them or overhook and or, then, you know, attack the legs, right. Something like that. And so like even just like moving the right way felt really, really weird. So, yeah, I mean, obviously I've learned a lot. I've been at this, I think, 9 weeks now. So it is, despite the fact that I've had people striking at me, it is way different. Now, on the other end, you know, with Jake Paul, he very likely has better boxing skills than me. There is no doubt about that. Okay.
Okay. So you would agree. You would agree with that. You wouldn't.
I would agree with that. That's fine. But so when I think about anything, and this is whether it's wrestling, mixed martial arts, jiu-jitsu, pick a thing. There is both the art that you need to be skillful at, right? So boxing. Yep. Then there's also the part of being a competitor, right? And that most people neglect that that's a skill, but that is in fact a skill. And you know, I don't very really true. Know a tremendous amount about your amateur career, but I always say, I mean, this is wrestling, jiu-jitsu, pick a martial art. It's one person versus another person. You have to figure out how to get your hand raised. And at some point in your career, there's been something that didn't go all that well. And you had to think, shit, this isn't going too well. I don't like this. How do I freaking figure this thing out and get my hand raised? And you get tough, right?
Yeah, very true. Very true.
It's true. And so the one, you know, the one fight that is really notable that I bring up, because you can see the guy's first attempt at it and you guys can see the guy's second attempt, is Conor McGregor. So the first time Conor McGregor expected to kick Nate Diaz's ass. And when Nate Diaz was still standing there after about 7 minutes, Conor was like, oh, shit, what do? I'm really tired. And he ended up getting choked out about a minute or two later. The second time he got there against Nate Diaz, you could see in the second round, in early third, he was getting really tired. And he thought, over my dead body, this is not going to happen again. I will keep fighting. And that's a point every fighter has to get to in their career to learn how to get past it.
I you know, that's a very, very valid point, and it does make all the difference. And I guess,
you know, have you had that point in your career?
I have. I had quite an extensive amateur background, you know, international, you know, tournaments and everything. And there was a lot of times where it didn't boil down to skill anymore. It boiled down to pure heart and determination. And are you going home as a winner or a loser? And I understand that is the angle that you're coming from, and it makes sense as to why you have supreme confidence going into this fight, especially comparing him to your last or previous opponents that you've had throughout your career. What do you think is Jake Paul's biggest threat? What is something that you, with all respect to him as your opponent, what do you think is his biggest threat?
So I think he probably does have some relatively good boxing skill. At the same time, I've heard people publicly say, and I've also heard people privately say, that, you know, his coaches will bring someone in and say, hey, don't try to kick his ass. You know,
don't
fight him as hard as you can fight him. And, you know, that always leads to kind of negative consequences, because you get a false sense of reality and a false sense of who you are and what you're about.
So do you think he's protected within his own camp?
I've seen a few people say that publicly. Cite the guy right now, but there was a mixed martial artist, and he said, you know, they brought me in and they told me, I think to only jab him or don't go super hard. I don't recall exactly what he said, but So I think he's probably a good boxer. But again, my biggest weapon would be just to make it a fight, get in there and make it dirty. If I'm trying to do pretty boxing against him, probably not going to go all that well for me. And you know, I've said this also, if he was really good, I mean, I sparred this one guy at Freddy's who he fought for world title, I have no chance, right? I'm just gonna get fucked up, and that's what it comes down to, right? If I'm fighting someone like that,
he's experienced,
he's a world champ, he's really high level. I don't think Jake is that. I don't think
No, he's not by any means. No way. I feel like he gets a lot of credit because of the industry he's come from. It's not hard to look like a tough guy or to look like someone who, you know, that's a fact. That is, and even as a legitimate fighter myself, people might take me lightly because I'm associated with the YouTubing demographic. So I can understand how people look at him that way. But I just think personally, it's going to be a fight from round 3. I think if it gets to round 3 and beyond, that's where the scrap begins and that's where the tide can turn. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would say yeah. I would think his best opportunities are rounds one and two. And you know, not only that, but I am a notoriously slow starter. I kind of always have been, you know, from my early days in wrestling. It was something I really had to work on. I have significantly more slow twitch muscle fibers than I do fast twitch muscle fibers. And so, you know, my ability in wrestling was just get someone tired and I can go hard as shit. You know, a college wrestling match is 7 minutes. Mm-hmm. I can go hard as shit for 7 minutes. So by the end of the 7 minutes, the other guy's completely exhausted. And that's kind of been, you know, in wrestling was one of my biggest weapons. Obviously, in mixed martial arts, it's a little more challenging because there are so many weapons to hurt you with. You have to be kind of ready from the jump. In boxing, while there's not as many weapons, obviously, there's still the early danger. So, I'm going to need to keep my defense tight and get on the inside and make it a tough fight for him.
Yeah, that's what we want to see. I want to see you rough him up. That's what we need to see. Rough him up.
Leo's been waiting for this.
He's annoying, man. He just reminds me of Johnny Bravo.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's so. I want to say this in the press conference, but that dipshit wouldn't stop interrupting me. Listen, you guys aren't from America. I don't know what team sports you guys have. Say you're a kid, you're a fifth grader. What?
Soccer, like football. So yeah, soccer. Yeah.
So in America, we have baseball and then football with, you know, the pigskin.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, quarterback is the premier position, and then in baseball it's pitcher. And I think everyone can relate to not liking Jake Paul, because when we were kids, there's always that kid that was the pitcher, the quarterback, and you're like, why the F is that kid the quarterback or the pitcher? They suck. And the answer is because their dad's really rich, and you know, he bought jerseys or he pays for travel or something to that effect. And everybody else on the field knows they probably shouldn't be in that position. And then at some point they get exposed for what they are. Right? Maybe not the first game, maybe not the second game, but at some point they get exposed to what they are. Jake Paul is that kid. Now, it just so happens that the currency is the amount of people that will watch him because of his following. It's not his dad giving money. But that's why all the other fighters can't stand him. And he's too stupid, or he's acting, one of the two, to realize that. Right? That's if I said, I'm a fucking good boxer, that's why I'm the main event of this really big card, you guys would be like, you're out of your goddamn mind.
Yeah, you're not being truthful. And that's the thing, Ben. That's why I appreciate you coming on to the show, because I've always spoken from an angle of truth, not to belittle or insult anybody. And the fact that, you know, as a fellow fighter, you can respect that, it means a lot. You have some really good names on your record, as we know, through winning multiple championships. But will this be one of the most satisfying victories for you, even though the opponent is the least skilled.
Will be. Well, I mean, because
how you feel after this win?
You know, with and I don't know if you, I'm sure you can relate it at some level. And because even when I was younger, right, I'm come up in wrestling. There's these things I aspire to be, and so like when I won my first state title, it was like, yes, I've been trying to do this for 2 years, you know. And then when I won a national title, I was like, yes, make the Olympic team. And then it's like, okay, I'm going to go into mixed martial arts. And then, you know, you are essentially validated by winning a belt, right? And they said, you're the champion. You did this thing well. It feels so good because you've put all this work into it in your whole life, you know? And this boxing thing, I mean, no offense, but I boxed for 12 weeks, right? By the time I get the fight day, I'll box for 12 weeks. I think that's all it's going to take me to beat up Jake Paul. But it's not like I put my life into it. It's not like I put 10 years, right? I put 10 years of really hard work into making the Olympic team. And so just the what comes with that, I think emotionally, is probably a little bit different.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah.
Hey.
Ben, how are you finding the YouTube crowd?
Go on.
But obviously the engagement's different now. It's so different.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really read comments that much, or very, very minimally. So it doesn't really affect me all that much. You know, I think that's kind of healthy for your mind, is to not read too much into what a lot of other people are saying.
No, I agree. Across my socials, I hardly follow people, and like, I'm really not in tune with what's going on. Even the way this interview came about, I just put it out there that I would like to interview, and it's my editor who told me that you replied. I didn't realize you had replied, so that's kind of how out of touch I am with staying on the socials. But let's talk about the press conference. Very recently happened. A lot of eyes. A lot of people believe you handled the press conference best you could and made him look extremely childish and got the upper hand from it. Talk to us. How do you feel, Ben? How do you feel? I feel like you've done a great job. I feel like it definitely gave everyone more confidence in you than before. I feel like you gained a lot of followers and a lot of people in favor of you from the press conference. Talk us through it.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, so like I said, there was more that I wanted to say, but this dude just wouldn't shut up. So I felt like it's going to be almost impossible for me to get like a full thought out there because he's just like annoying. And but you know what is really crazy? And maybe this is me being like an older guy and speaking, like he's still so incredibly insecure. And, you know, he is famous. Mm-hmm. He does, to my knowledge, have a lot of money. I can't confirm that or deny that for sure, but it appears that way. Mm-hmm. And he's still so insecure with himself. I mean, just like, I don't know where you are in your birth order. I'm the older brother. I whoop my little brother's ass all the time. Every older brother whoops their little brother's ass. Now, sometimes little brother.
I'm the oldest. Yeah, I'm the oldest.
You know what I'm talking about, right? You whooped your little brother's ass.
It's true.
It's true. And like the fact that he couldn't say, yeah, my older brother whooped my ass. Like the fact that he got so mad. Listen, that's a part of growing up. If you're the big brother, you do the whooping. And sometimes the little brother gets bigger than you, right? And then it maybe the tides turn when you're a little older. But when you're younger, it's not the case. And the fact that he couldn't like admit to that, it just shows a really, really high level of insecurity.
Yeah. No, I think I noticed that. I noticed that. And I felt it was a subtle tactic from you, but very effective for you to reference him as Logan's little brother. And I think that was very smart because you had a feeling of what it would do, and it's not such an in-your-face statement, but it triggered such a reaction. So smart, smart from your side.
But just the fact he's just like so, I didn't follow the Pauls at all before this fight got announced. Now, you know, I don't follow him a lot, but looking into the level of insecurity from someone who is rich and famous. It's kind of ridiculous. He should learn to brush off those comments on social media a little bit more. And I had a lot more material, but again, he wouldn't shut up, so I didn't really get into it too deeply.
How did you feel about him saying you choked at the Olympics and you choked in the UFC and his constant reference to Masvidal? And obviously to you, I know it's probably just falling on deaf ears, but what was going through your mind at the time? What happened?
What was you thinking?
Yeah, it's probably the way he thinks about it. But he's really immature and insecure. One of the statements I use a lot when I'm thinking about this type of stuff, and this could be athletic competitions, this could be a lot of other things in life. You never want to tie your ego to the outcome. And again, it could be business, it could be relationships, because when you tie your ego to the outcome, you can get screwed. Because some things aren't going to turn out the way you.
I think that's a gem. I think that's a gem you just dropped there on the.
That's very
on
true.
The show.
Sick.
Yeah.
Sick.
I think that's a gem. Every conversation that we have with someone, something stays with you. I think that is one that's going to stay with us from today.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so, I referenced to my – I coach kids at my wrestling academy. My brother and I own 5 of them, and I love coaching. And I always say, like, kids get a lot of built up that, if I win state, something's going to happen. If I lose, this is going to happen. And it's like, don't tie your ego to the outcome. You're the same guy. I always say, listen, July 5th, if I win July 6th, I'm fighting for the world title next. I got knocked out in the most embarrassing fashion probably anyone ever has in mixed martial arts. I'm the same guy July 7th. I am not a different person, right?
Yeah.
And so, listen, you just have to respect yourself for who you are and what you do. And you can't think that something crazy is going to happen because of one positive or negative outcome.
It's true, and it's hard to actually maintain that level of thought. So I think that says something already about the mental strength that you're bringing into this fight.
That actually helps a lot of people. I don't know. I do this segment called Mental Monday on some of my social media, and sometimes it's my academy social media. And literally the number one question – I've been doing it for like 5 years. The number one asked question by far, by a very long ways, is something to the effect of, hey, my kid wrestles really well, and they get to that big match, and they don't perform. And it's almost always because the kid is putting an extra emphasis or they're treating that differently. If I do this, then this will happen. And it's like, no, you just go out there and compete. And hey, if it goes well, it goes well. If it doesn't, then you go back to the drawing board.
Very true.
And I think a lot of people put a pressure on themselves that is not required. It doesn't need to be there. You know, it's just all kind of built up within ourselves. And yeah, you seem like, yeah, that's not going to be a problem for you come fight day. What do you think of Jake's coaching stuff? What do you think of BJ Flores as a coach? Do you respect him or?
Yeah, I don't actually know. I don't know all that much about BJ Flores except the fact that he lost 4 straight world title fights, which is, that's got to be a record.
Ben, you came with the smoke today. You came with some smoke today.
Fair enough. I don't know about you. I can't. I don't want to speak for you. And I'm doing okay in life. I don't know that anyone could pay me enough to be their cheerleader.
That's true. That
was crazy.
People.
That's
crazy. There's pre-planned. Yeah. I don't know if you pay me enough.
But it's just the entourage around him. Everything's fake.
Yeah. I feel like BJ Flores is genuine with him as a boxing coach. I think, personally, as I said, this is my opinion, I think he really wants him to do well. And possibly through the fact of him not fulfilling in his own successes in his career, this is a way to get another chance to leave his stamp and leave a mark within the sport. What do you think of that, Lee? You think that, like,
I agree with that. But the cheerleading stuff, like, he's got to allow that, man. His age as well. You got to think of it. His age, like his age, and then he's rolling with these people. Like, masculine shit, man. Let's bring back the masculine shit, man.
No,
not the girl band stuff.
Yeah, I mean, what the other thing I think about, and I think through kind of wrestling sometimes. Sometimes, like, guys who've had a reasonable amount of success in wrestling, they become like personal coaches or a businessman brings them in and says, "You coach these kids," you know, type of thing, versus someone who built their own thing, you know. And generally, those people who are brought in or who are given a position with, you know, a singular entity, they didn't build that up themselves, right? BJ Flores didn't create this great team, right? He's getting paid. I don't know what his relationship with Jake was initially, but somehow Jake decided to pay him. So it's not like he built up this incredible stable of fighters and now he's unleashing them and we're seeing his coaching skills. He's been paid by one person, to my understanding, to coach him. And, you know, yeah, Jake's got 2 wins against guys who aren't fighters. And even if he were to beat me, I don't think that still makes him a good boxer, right? If he beat me, but a little bit better than beating Nate Robinson, or a lot better. But it's not like he's going to go be a high-level boxer still.
Right. I agree, and I can definitely agree with that side of things. As much as time that he's putting in, I just think it's crazy to think that all the years of work others are putting in, you think you can just make up for it in such a short space of time. I don't see that. But within the lane that he seems that he's targeting, he may be able to have a decent career. Would Logan Paul be of any interest to you if you beat Jake Paul?
Yeah, I was on Logan's show. It's coming out at some point, I'm sure. It was a couple weeks ago at least. he seemed like a really nice guy compared to Jake, at least. I don't know. That was just my...
They're different. They are different. They are very different. Yeah.
He was a little more mature. But the one thing that struck me about Logan was he said something like, you know, we've both been at this for 3 years, which means we're getting really good. I can't remember. He had referenced 3 years and that being some kind of significant time period. And I think back to my wrestling career, it's like, shit, I wasn't really good till like years.
That is very true.
You could put in 3 years and be really good. Like, I don't think that's the way that it works.
No. Because I've been boxing 17 years. And I compared, the first 3 years of boxing, I'm like, wow, I was really nothing.
But probably in year three, you were comparing yourself to year one, right? And you probably thought, I'm pretty fucking good.
I'm good at this.
That's exactly what it is.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
That is a fact, man. That is a fact. We mentioned about you boxing again after this fight, possibly. But what comes with boxing is the pay. Now, we know you're getting paid well for this fight. You've said yourself you're getting a nice payday.
Yes, sir.
Is it the biggest, am I correct in saying the biggest payday of your career? Biggest payday of your career.
Mm-hmm.
Surely you'd want a couple more of those. Surely if it was against the opponent level that you believe you can beat,
yeah,
you'd collect
so,
a few more of these checks.
I've actually done a really good job investing and spending my time building businesses. So, I mean, is the pay nice? Absolutely. Is it significant to me? Yeah, yeah,
good,
it is.
Good.
But do I have to do good, this to good. Make money? And the answer is no, I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it just seemed like a fun mm-hmm. opportunity, and that was why I did it. The pay that comes with it is nice. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not saying I'll say no to another payday. I'm not. There's a potential.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, I was retired twice now. So I was retired for the first time November of 2017 to I fought again March of 2019. In October of 2019, I retired again.
Yeah.
And like at first, the idea of going into training camp and training it seriously, it was kind of fun. And now I'm in like week 9 of camp, maybe, or somewhere around there. And it's like, oh, this fucking sucks. I got to work out every day. Like, I got to.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh.
Yes.
So, Ben, what's going to need some time off after this fight because I'm sick of training every day.
Yeah. I was going to say, what does your wife think about you coming out of retirement?
She doesn't really care all that much. You know, her first thought was, why boxing? You don't box. And I said, yeah, I don't box. But this Jake Paul guy, he's not really that good. I mean, and I said, well, you never really had an issue with me. I fought, you know, Robbie Lawler, Douglas Lee, you name it. I fought that. They could elbow me. They could kick me. Mm-hmm. They could knee me. They could do any of that shit, which, you know,
true.
I don't know
if you guys very true.
Elbowed, but getting elbow hurts like a bitch. It hurts really bad.
Not me.
Getting leg kicked. I got leg kicked. I only got leg kicked one time by Douglas Lima. This guy kicks up. My leg hurt for 10 days.
Yeah, you get slapped at, yes. Yeah.
You know, so it's like, true. Well, you didn't complain when I was fighting mixed martial arts. So, you know, doing one, I'm not telling you I'm going to box for the next 10 years. I'm just telling you I'm going to do one boxing match.
Yeah.
So she was.
But I think, you know what I believe? I believe the magnitude of a loss from this fight will probably be bigger than the loss any time in your career that you've lost, whether from like wrestling, MMA, or whatnot. Because the type of crowd that's invested in this are the immature crowd. So they do all the clowning and whatnot, and they keep bringing back up. They'll make things go viral.
I got a million George Masvidal gifts. I'm not worried about it anymore. Actually, both him and his brother, and I think maybe this was in an attempt to give me some anxiety or something. They said, "Well, if you lose this, it's over for you." And I'm like, "What? What's over?
Well,
I'm retired. I'm retired. True, am I not going to be able to run my wrestling academies because I get beat by you? Am I not going to be able to do podcasts? No, I don't really think that's the case. Is my bank account somehow going to go down? No, probably not. So it's like."
You've weighed up what actually changes.
Yeah.
And it's not much.
Literally nothing changes for me. No, I'm going to go back. And whether I win or lose on Saturday, April 17th, Monday, April 19th, I'm going to be coaching in my academies because that's what I enjoy doing. And so it's like they want to have some type of illusion like my life is somehow going to change. Now, if I beat him, I will have more opportunities, right? Maybe if I want to box again, I'll get paid a bunch of money to box again. But I don't even know that I really want to all that bad. Yeah. I might. But, you know, I think the key in one of the keys in life is to find something you love doing. I love coaching wrestling. I love talking about wrestling on my podcast. I'm literally living a great life. I get to do exactly what I want every single day. So I decided to box. If I want to go take a trip to LA for a week, I have other people who can cover my shifts. So I go to LA for a week. If I want to go to Vegas for a week, I went to Vegas last week.
So your life is set. Your life is set.
Your life is good. You're comfy.
So this notion that if I lose to him, it's over. I mean, Logan Paul said, let me be real with you. If you lose, it's over. And I said, what? What's over?
No, I guess when you put it like that and you're given the chance to explain and yourself, then it makes sense to why you can't see why anything would be over. It's just literally another fight to you.
For me, it's just fun. I mean, no one probably fought you because you actually box, but like when I was a teenager, you know, we were bored on a Friday night. We'd go to my house and we had big, I think it was like 18 ounce boxing gloves or something. Hey, let's box each other. Like, let's have fun. That sounds like a good time. So, you know, that's kind of like how I think about it in those terms. You guys do that? Tanya will probably want to box you, though, if you're actually good.
Yeah, no.
Fly him out. But yeah, Ben, so sparring-wise, have you had tough sparring? Like really, really tough sparring?
You've been hurt. Have you been hurt? Has someone hit you and you've gone, oof, okay.
Yeah, not all that many times. A couple times. You know, I was watching some really hard sparring at Freddy's, and I actually think it's kind of wild that you guys go that hard. In mixed martial arts, I don't want to say there's an understanding, but we're not actually trying to hurt
each other in
sparring. And I actually saw someone get knocked out. You know, they got hit really hard at Freddy's, kind of rocked a little bit. And I'm like, shit, you know, like, and in MMA, you know, we usually sparred one day a week big gloves and one day a week small gloves. And obviously when you're doing the small gloves, you're not really trying to crack each other. But I guess I was kind of, I don't want to say taken aback, but I was kind of surprised in boxing how hard they spar. I mean, they're really trying to
spar quite hard, like in boxing, and I don't know.
There's times, isn't it? It depends, yeah.
Yeah, it depends on who the person is. It depends, you know, if there's any underlying emotion there. But I have heard that MMA fighters do spar more reserved and save it more for the performance, which obviously makes sense. It makes perfect sense. But have you been taking that approach with the boxing sparring too?
I've sparred more in boxing than I ever did in mixed martial arts You know, for me, it was like, hey, well, I'm going to do this for 12 weeks. So whatever, I'd spar a few extra times. No big deal. Mm-hmm. It's not like, again, with MMA, I knew I was going to be at it for quite a while. I ended up fighting for right around 10 years. I probably wouldn't have guessed it was going to be that long when I started, but that's what it ended up being. And so, I mean, there is, I think there's almost more concern over the CTE stuff in MMA than there is in boxing. I mean, boxing kind of seems like people neglect it and just say like, hey, that's part of the job. And in MMA, people seem to be cognizant of that.
Yeah,
I agree.
See, obviously when you're sparring and you might come to a position where you're unstuck or you come unstuck or whatnot, does your mind sort of drift back to wrestling, like as a get out clause? Do you ever find that type of instinct kick in? Yeah, when you're being sparring, like, as of recently or whatnot.
Yeah. The first couple weeks, it was that, like I said, you know, in MMA, it was grab and take down and do that kind of stuff. And just where my hands were being placed, I had to really be cognizant of that because it was, just instinct was, you know, I did it for 10 years, right? So my instinct was to go MMA, more MMA style. And now there's definitely quite a few differences between, even just in the stand-up, the way you would spar for mixed martial arts versus the way you would spar for boxing. So I've been trying to make all those changes, and they're feeling
the stance,
comfortable.
There's a big difference. Yeah, the stance is a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, even difference. Like, you know, one thing I noticed in with all the sparring is like in MMA, for example, you would want to get underhooks on someone, right? And that's how you can control them. And in boxing, I've noticed no one really likes underhooks that much because you get your hands trapped and then you can't hit, right? So they kind of like coming over a lot more or keeping their hands in tight because then they can start, you know, letting their hands go.
Yeah.
If you have an underhook, your hand is then trapped and it's not useful anymore.
Mm-hmm. So that's a bit of wrestling knowledge that you can apply to the sport of boxing, which is something that I've also been working on a lot. I'd say is my inside game and, you know, how to
clinch
and maneuver the person, because it is, I feel like it was something that was used a lot in old school boxing. Modern day has become a lot less contact, a lot more clean punching, but not as physical. So I guess with that being said, you're gonna bring the physicality to Jake on April 17th. And you are the favorite to win.
I think I'm the betting underdog.
I think you're the betting underdog, but to any polls that I've seen on social media, you are the favorite to win.
Nice. When's your next boxing match?
It's going to be hopefully sometime in May. I can't disclose it on here right now, but hopefully sometime in May. I'll get back in the ring. And
so do you fight? I know you're part of the money team. Do you train in Vegas or are you in England?
So for my pro career so far, I've trained in Vegas, but this is going to be the first camp that I have out in the UK. But my dad taught me how to fight, so he's going to be my trainer here. Leon, who is with us, is my strength and conditioning coach, experienced within the combat world. So I feel like I'm going to have a great camp here and I can be a better fighter at home than in Vegas.
Nice. So is England relatively locked down? Because I thought like you guys can't really travel, right?
Yeah.
Right. It's true. Yeah.
I think only for work purposes you can travel right now as it stands.
But yeah, I think there were some English fighters who were fighting in one championship, I believe, in mixed martial arts who they weren't able to go because of their visas or something.
Yeah, unfortunately I'm a resident of the US, so I'm okay.
Oh, really?
I'm okay, I'm there, so I should be all right, and hopefully I can get back in the ring, make a statement, and continue my career with a bang. I'm only 23 years old, so we've got time to grow. I might look 30, but I'm actually 23.
You're not going as bald as Jake Paul is. So
I just wanted to, well, just because we're coming to the end here, we've spoken about the fight. I appreciate you giving us the time on that, but I also want. I want to learn something from you today. I know you don't get to where you have got to in your life without keeping some gems close to you and keeping some core values and stuff that make up your personality. So what's the three main things you would say you live by that makes you the man you are? You can't live without those things.
That is very interesting. So well, I think that ego, don't tell your ego the outcome is a bit, you know, it's a big one.
That is a big one.
If you can do that right and you can really think that way, your ability to take chances goes up, right? Because if you're always scared of what people are going to think of you, you're never going to take chances. So I think that's a huge one. Number two, and this might actually be number one, but you know, you're never really going to get anywhere without a really, really long period of hard work. And I think that's true in business, athletics, no matter what it is, you got to work hard. Then the number two, so I'm actually going to go four because we said ego to outcome. Number two would be being able to deal with adversity, because again, even if you start working hard, no matter what you do, you're going to come up short at some point a little bit, and being able to like bounce back, because some people meet that first adversity and they say, this shit isn't for me. I'm done. I mean, that's probably what Jake Paul's going to do, whether it's April 17th or the next time he goes out there. When he gets his ass whooped one time, he's probably going to say, I'll just go make YouTube videos, actually.
it can change everything. Adversity can change everything. Yeah.
And you got to be ready to deal with that. And then number three would be having some ingenuity, too. Sometimes you need to come up with new solutions to problems that people don't see. And that was a big part of my wrestling career when I got the funky nickname is when I got older. I was started having some relatively good success, but I was kind of coming up short because, again, like I said, I have really slow twitch muscle fibers, and just I was like okay, but I wasn't great, and so I had to really start exploring the sport deeper and finding opportunities for myself to have success, and that was huge for me. So those would be my three.
Okay,
that's good.
And you know, I just wanted to ask you one more thing. You know, you're very open and acknowledge the fact that you have slow twitch muscle fibers. And with boxing, and especially against someone against Jake, who's inexperienced, he's going to start quickly. He's going to let his nerves make him sharp. It's going to make him extra quick. How are you going to fill that void between the slow twitch fibers and someone moving very sketchy and fast in front of you?
Well, I think that's it's kind of relatively the same in all combat sports. You know, again, balancing the slow twitch, fast twitch, because really. There's very few activities when being completely fast twitch is beneficial, right? Maybe like a 100-meter dash.
100-meter sprints, that's it.
Yeah, you know, something super – and obviously being super slow is, you know, a marathon or something. And lots of times it's about playing to your strengths. And so, I mean, I'm sure you guys can think of a boxer, and I could name some wrestlers, but I'm not as knowledgeable in boxing. Someone who was really good early, but if you took them past the third round, they lost every time, right?
Because they understand,
and then you could think of some other guys who always got their ass whooped in the first three rounds, and then as the fight went on,
they progress, they grow up,
And so for me, it's always about trying to play to your strengths, and that's kind of you know, now after, right, I've been competing at a relatively high level in sport for 20 years or so. That's kind of figuring out how to work with what I have. It's important.
Yeah. Do you have any favorite current box? Do you have any favorite current boxers at the moment?
No, my hero growing up was Muhammad Ali. Yeah, I would still say just not only for who he was as a boxer, but just who he was as a person. He was a pretty amazing individual, and just what he was always willing to stand up for what he believed in. And I think there's very few people in the world who are able to do that. I mean, if you think about Ali, spent 3.5 years of his prime not boxing because it was against his moral code to go to the draft. And he could have said, yeah, I'll go to the draft. And, you know, they would have made him box a few exhibitions, and they would have let him do whatever the hell he wanted. But he said, this is not what I'm going to do. And he sacrificed ultimately. I mean, do you think about how much money he lost?
His prime, that was golden years, man.
Yeah, that's 10, 12 fights that he missed out on probably because he was willing to stand up for what he believed in. So I think a lot of people appreciate Ali, and I always did because of that. So that would be, you know, he's kind of like my life hero.
Okay, so do you currently watch boxing now? Do you watch boxing?
I would say a little bit. Like, I'm not, know, I would watch like the top boxers. But not like if you quiz me on, you know, the number 6 ranked guy.
Of course.
Okay.
Okay. Well, this was really good. This was a good, interview. It was a good catch up. I'm glad everyone can say how they feel and no one get all personal about it and get all upset about it. Everyone's just chilling, enjoying themselves and having a growing conversation. So I appreciate you coming on. People, if you want to see more videos like this, make sure you head over to the Ruin Wills channel. This is basically what the videos are, but it's on my main channel today. So make sure you like, subscribe, put that on in your subscription feed. Ben, put your socials out there for those that don't know where you are. How can they find you?
It's just my name, Ben Askren on Instagram, Ben Askren on Twitter. I really like tweeting a lot. I don't really love Instagram, but I have been getting better at posting content. Those two places.
Excellent. Leon, you know where to find him. Leon Wills 101 on everything. Ruin Wills podcast. Thank you for tuning in, people. Make sure you're listening on all streaming platforms also. And it's always love. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.